Besides coming early today to the 4 o'clock Ring, Sing, and Mingle event, I know none of us will be put off by any light rain that we might encounter in Florida. If we have rain, I plan maybe to dance in it a little bit. But I will be here at 4 and come early. I'm sure many of you will. I also want to mention, I did not highlight the Presbyterian Women's Bible Study this Tuesday, December the 12th. I mention it because they meet at 10 o'clock for their study, and you see the rooms there, but it's one of my favorite Christmas brunches that follow that event, so I want to make sure I mention that and get extra for doing it. And Paul will be there too, I know.
Absolutely.
Beginning an Advent sermon series of 3 sermons this Sunday on the title, What Child Is This That Changed the World? And the first sermon today is simply entitled, He Brings Gifts of Comfort and Peace. And you will hear why in the readings that follow. The scripture reading from Isaiah is from Isaiah 40, the first 5 verses. There are good words that follow all through that chapter. I encourage you to read all of Isaiah 40. God's people are comforted by that particular chapter. Later on in Isaiah, in chapter 57 at verse 14, Isaiah continues, as he does another occasion, to talk about building up and preparing the way and to remove every obstruction in your life so that he can reach his people. The metaphor used in Isaiah here and is mentioned in our reading from the Gospel of Mark, the metaphor that is used is that of road building. Of all things, the second Sunday of Advent, road building. The building of roads has always been important, not only to people of ancient times, but to us, especially when bridges are planned to be completed. Road building makes travel and trade and connection possible. It was especially important in days of old to clean and remove all the stones when a dignitary, an official, or a king would be coming to a particular town. It was a sign of honor to prepare the way. And so, by way of that, we are called, as we come to these readings, to consider clearing all the clutter and debris from our lives that our hearts might be clear to receive him. And so listen now as I read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of our Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then from the lectionary reading for this Sunday in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, the first 8 verses, the proclamation of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, in this season of haste and hurry, in this season of preparation, may we clear all the clutter from our lives and take time to glorify and worship you, O Lord, and the child King that comes. In Christ's name, help us to do just that in this season. Amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing two stories from those beloved little devotional booklets that we now have out in the hallway once again in a folder. Those two wonderful booklets, These Days and Our Daily Bread. It shouldn't surprise you over the years that I have kept stories about Christmas from the pages of old editions of those booklets. They are just wonderful ways to whet your appetite for a good Bible study or a time together with others in meetings or just time alone. The first story that I share comes from a mother about her young daughter. When the children in this mother's church were getting ready for the Christmas pageant one year, her daughter was at home in her room in private practicing her songs. The mother was in the kitchen preparing cookies for the event, and the mother overheard her daughter singing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As she listened more carefully, the mother noted that while the daughter's tune was good, the words were not so good. Because instead of saying, with angelic hosts proclaim, the mother heard her daughter saying, with jelly and toast proclaim. Now you know why I like our daily bread. I also read about a group of first graders in these days who decided to produce, with their teacher's help, a modern, contemporary, and updated nativity play. All the major characters were on the stage: Joseph, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men from afar. All the characters were on the stage as the play began, except Mary. And shortly after the program began, behind the bales of hay that were staged in the middle of the floor, they began to hear loud moaning and groaning. In this updated version by these first graders, Mary was in labor. They kind of overdid it, but it had an effect on the audience. And then all of a sudden, from the congregation, one of the first graders, dressed in a white doctor's coat and carrying a black bag, went up on the stage and around the bales of hay, carrying Joseph's hand and tugging him along. And finally, after a pregnant silence, the first grade doctor came out and did not say, it's a boy or it's a girl, but rather, with baby in arm, it's a God. Children often make us stop and think about the meaning of Christmas. They may not get everything right sometimes, but sometimes they hit it right on the nose. My question is, why can't we as adults do the same in this season? Why is it that in this season of our Savior's birth, the good news of his birth, we often focus on petty trivialities, on whether someone is saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Why do some people suddenly turn into Herods and believe there is a plot everywhere and become so negative about things? Someone said to me after the first service, Pastor, that's the reason there is a play called The Scrooge. Because we deal with that in our world, don't we? Here's the point. Advent and Christmas are the church's seasons to celebrate our Savior's birth. There are seasons. This child who will change the world, that's the story we are to tell about, this child. And this is the reason at this time of the year that we sing great hymns and songs of faith and ring handbells and bake and eat cookies and do all the things that this fiery John the Baptist calls us to do, to prepare the way, to prepare the way, to repent, to turn around. And so we decorate our homes anew. We string up twinkling lights. We decorate the yards with all of those things that blow up in the front yard. My, you should come to my neighborhood and I'll come to yours. We buy gifts for loved ones. We do so many things in this season to prepare, all to prepare and to celebrate God's promise fulfilled. How? In flesh and blood, in a child that would come to change the world. But even as we prepare this year, I don't know about you, but to me the world often seems so bleak when I listen to the news. The violence, the killing, it seems so unstoppable. The hill to climb toward hope and peace and comfort does not seem to be prepared. How can we be ready for the coming of Christ when we face a world with a future of greed, more loss, more corruption, more hypocrisy? But the prophet Isaiah, we turn to the prophet Isaiah and we find that Isaiah speaks for all of us through his words. As a matter of fact, if you go on past verse 5 in chapter 40, you come to verse 8, which is one of my favorites. Isaiah proclaims, "Yes, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen." In other words, there are eternal truths given to us by God, embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, that will never wither, that will never fade, that will never die, that are ours to celebrate and enjoy in this season and to claim anew as we clear the clutter away from our lives. We don't have to be like the world. Yes, we have to live in it, but we do not have to model the ways of the world. And so maybe, just maybe, that's why the central character of today's passage from Mark's scripture reading also doesn't seem to fit. And he doesn't. Every year in the scripture readings for Christmas, usually on the second Sunday of Advent, one of the most unlikely characters shows up in the midst of the Christmas story, this preparation we're making for the coming of Christ. His appearance for some are like fingernails across a chalkboard. And I'm talking, of course, about the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, standing there beside the Jordan River, hollering, "Repent! Repent!" Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem very Christmassy to me. It doesn't seem on the surface very comforting. But actually, what John is doing is proclaiming the message of comfort and peace to the whole world by proclaiming the good news that he is coming. In his very words, we find the gift of comfort, and in comfort, we find peace. These words also echo the passage from Isaiah that we heard earlier. And so two questions need to be answered this morning. First, what was the gift? I'm glad you asked that question. This gift that John is talking about, which Christ brings, comes from a clue we're given in the 8th verse of the very first chapter of the beginning of the ministry of the good news of Jesus Christ in Mark's gospel, the earliest of all the gospels. Verse 8, John proclaims, "I baptize you with water, but he," that is Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." No one had ever offered that before. God, you see, in the ancient world was viewed in the highest of heaven or in the temple. Where? But in the Holy of Holies of all places, only visited by the high priest, and that very rarely. God, you see, was seen as way distant and totally other from us, as if we were abandoned and all alone. And the general feeling in ancient times about religion was, while God was God, God did not care enough about the everyday, the ordinary sort of things that we deal with as persons, or the things that we're going to be bothered by. But John the Baptist provides this comforting word: you're wrong. And when the Messiah comes, you'll see each and every one of you is as important to God as Moses and Isaiah and all the prophets. Because while I baptize you with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, God's peace. You see, you and I are not just another worker bee in the hive. Praise be to God, we're not. You and I, we are uniquely created by a loving God, and we are to be in relationship with him. And thus he sent his son. That's why John was trying to get everybody cleaned up. That's why the road needed to be cleared off, raised up in some places, made level in others, to get us as individuals to receive a royal guest within us. Like the little boy dressed up like that doctor, it's a God come to dwell with us. And so we have to ask that question this morning: are we ready to receive that gift? Are you? The second question comes also with a challenge. To those who have received the gift, are you also then ready and willing to share that gift with others? I may be wrong, but I think God gives us his gifts. He gives us his son. His son brings gifts like comfort and peace, so that we can share them with others. And when we share them with others, the Holy Spirit can work through us as if we were the very instruments of God to make a difference in the world. I want to close this morning with this story. It comes from a book entitled Without Reservations, written by Fred Elias. It is about the Holiday Inn hotel chain. The book, again, Without Reservations. And in the book, there is a story about a man named Rick. Now, Rick is one of those people who make you proud to be a member of the human race. You know some of those people, don't you? Rick worked at the front desk of the Holiday Inn in his town. And some weeks before Christmas, Rick was enjoying a day off. He was browsing through garage sales and thrift stores and looking at all the stores with sales. And at one stop, he caught bits of conversation between a woman and her little girl. The little girl, it seemed, was begging, literally begging her mother to buy an old, dilapidated dollhouse for $15. The mother was struggling to explain to her little girl that they only had enough money to buy the stained winter coat that she needed. But the little girl kept begging. and you know how children can be. Please, 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 please. She promised she would not even let herself feel the cold any longer if she could just have that old dollhouse. The mother's eyes welled with tears as she purchased instead that stained, used coat and left. This is where the story gets a little odd for our modern times, because we don't do this anymore for some reason. Rick, on impulse, he hopped in his car and he followed that mother and little girl. He discreetly followed them to an old, run-down house where they went inside. He noted their address and he quickly drove back to the thrift shop and he purchased that old, dilapidated dollhouse. And then he went to other stores and gathered paint and fabric and the tools he needed to proceed to renovate that old dollhouse. From his efforts, the dollhouse now sparkled. Even Santa would have been proud of it. And in the cold, early dawn of Christmas Day that year, Rick loaded his treasure into his car. He drove over to the little girl's house. He carefully and quietly placed the dollhouse on the front steps, put a simple ribbon around it, and a note that said, "From Santa." Not wanting to embarrass the family, he quietly drove away, not turning around to look, and he spent the rest of Christmas morning as a manager on duty at the Holiday Inn. Can you imagine the look of wonder and awe on the face of that little girl? The peace that it brought that house on that Christmas morning. Now, I want to be honest with you. When I read that story, I thought, oh, that story, it really doesn't help advance the point that this child came to change the world. And then I thought about it further, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty big task for you and you and you and all of us to go about changing the world. And then I realized we don't have to change it all at once. We just have to change it one person at a time. And we're called to do it without reservation. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we thank you for these moments together. May we clear a highway for our God. In Christ's name, amen.